Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 24. Be not thou envious against evil men, neither desire to be with them. For their heart studieth destruction, and their lips talk of mischief. Through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and in multitude of counselors there is safety. Wisdom is too high for a fool, he openeth not his mouth in the gate. He that deviseth to do evil shall be called a mischievous person. The thought of foolishness is sin, and the scorner is an abomination to men. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. If thou forbear to deliver them that are drawn unto death, and those that are ready to be slain, if thou sayest, Behold, we knew it not, doth not he that pondereth the heart consider it, and he that keepeth thy soul, doth not he know it? And shall not he render to every man according to his works? My son, eat thou honey because it is good, and the honeycomb which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times, and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Rejoice not when thine enemy falleth, and let not thine heart be glad when he stumbleth, lest the Lord see it, and it displease him, and he turn away his wrath from him. Fret not thyself because of evil men, neither be thou envious at the wicked, for there shall be no reward to the evil man. The candle of the wicked shall be put out. My son, fear thou the Lord and the king, and meddle not with them that are given to change. For their calamity shall rise suddenly, and who knoweth the ruin of them both? These things also belong to the wise. It is not good to have respect of persons in judgment. He that saith unto the wicked, Thou art righteous, him shall the people curse, nations shall abhor him. But to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. Every man shall kiss his lips that giveth the right answer. Prepare thy work without, and make it fit for thyself in the field, and afterwards build thine house. Be not a witness against thy neighbor without cause, and deceive not with thy lips. Say not, I will do so to him as he hath done to me, I will render to the man according to his work. I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. Then I saw, and considered it well. I looked upon it, and received instruction. Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as one that traveleth, and thy want as an armed man.
Praise God, praise God. This is Deacon Thomas Farr, and you are listening to It's Just Christian Lens Talk. It is Thursday, the 21st of November, 2019. We thank God for you joining us. For all those who have called in, it's 646-668-2636. Thank you for joining us. We see you there on the keyboard, on the switchboard, rather. I'm sorry. And for all those who have called in, www.blogtalkradio.com. /Deacon Farr, thank you also for joining us. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to be talking about spiritual maturity. As Christian men, maturity is a requirement that we. This is one of our priorities that will change our lives and live a life that is pleasing to God. So today, I just wanted to touch on some specific points to encourage you along the way, encourage you in your Christian walk, and to be able to encourage one another. How important it is to encourage one another in our growth. You know, we all know that we all grow and mature spiritually at different levels, just as in the natural. But we, as the body of Christ, we are called to do certain things. There's certain things that we are called to do if we call ourselves disciples. Because remember, Christ has given us a commandment to make disciples of all nations, not just converts, but disciples. And that part of disciple is the learning, submitting unto the Word of God, learning the Word of God, understanding the Word of God, and how to evangelize and share the word of God, that we can go out and reach someone for Christ and share our vision, share our hope, and have faith for someone. And Lord, we can do that because we have to know what we believe and why we believe it. So tonight, I just wanted to give a word of encouragement for the brothers out there. And again, even as in our roles in our homes, as husbands, fathers, we ought to lead our families. It's one of the things that I've learned in my salvation work that, you know, the church functions the best when we have strong Christian families, with strong Christian husbands and fathers leading them, directing them, and guiding them. Because when we come together, the church is only as strong as our weakest and our weakest members and our families. So if we have different parts of the body that is going through something, there's another part that has to step in, has to support it, and we feel the pain throughout the whole body of Christ. So, you know, it's good. It's important that we as men, again, as husbands and fathers, we lead our family in their spiritual maturity. That way the church will mature. This is not the work of the pastor. It is not the work of the elders and deacons. They're called for other responsibilities and roles in the church. But us as husbands and fathers, we ought to be the main spiritual leader in our homes and for our families. Amen? Amen. So today I just want to encourage you again as we talk about that. And also, let me give a quick announcement before we let's pray. Let's open up in prayer because we have an announcement of the upcoming men's retreat. We're moving forward. Everything is going well. We're set up. We just have one more thing we're going to get done by the time the end of the month. We're going to have online registration. But God, first we come to you and say thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I thank you for every man that's called in today. I thank you for every man that's listening online. I thank you for those who will hear this program. Again, over who may not be listening live, but we'll hear it down the road at some time. And I pray that today will be a day of their understanding, the opening of blinded eyes, that they will hear the gospel, they will understand the gospel, they will hear the call to discipleship, they will hear the call to obedience, and hear the call to spiritual maturity. Father, we say thank you today. Father, we ask your grace, your mercy, and your blessings over our lives and over our family, over our wives and children, oh God. Father, we pray for those who are shut in the hospitals today who are sick, oh God. We pray for their families, God, as they sit by the bedside, oh God, and comfort their hearts, oh God. You may not know what your will is, oh God, but the healing is possible through you, God. But today, God, we ask that you encourage them, touch their lives, encourage them in these things. Bless the nurses, the doctors, oh God, those who serve, those who care for us, oh God. Father, we pray for those who are locked up in prisons today, oh God, that their souls still might be free, God. But today, God, minister to them where they are, God. They might be able to reach someone for you, oh God. They might tell someone of the salvation that you give, the freedom that you give in their faith and believing in you. So, Lord God, we say thank you today. Father, we pray for the church today, the church worldwide, Lord God. Those who believe your word, oh God, those who live by your word, those who live lives obedient to your word. We pray for them today, those who are being persecuted, oh God, those who are put under, those who are being threatened with death, oh God, because of their faith in you, Lord God. So, God, we say thank you. Continue to bless us and watch over us and keep us, oh God. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Amen. All right, men, brothers, April 17th, 18th, and 19th, 2020. We are the men group at Jesus Lives Ministry and Fellowship. We have a men's retreat up at the Black Rock Retreat Center. The total cost is going to be $125. If you need a motel room, you can reach out to us at 443-591-3504. But we're going in as cabins. We have three cabins. We have a total of 36 slots, I believe. So it's first come, first serve. We're requiring registration. If you reach out, also Issues Christian Mental on the Facebook page. If you go to JesusLivesMinistry.org, the website, you can register there. You can reach out to me again on Issues Christian Men's Talk Facebook page. Inbox is there. Go to Twitter at Issues Men's Talk and just reach out to there. Give you registration. We're requiring a $55 non-refundable deposit to hold your spot. And again, this is April 17th, 18th, and 19th. Jesus Lives Fellowship's men's group, men's retreat. Amen. Amen. So today, I also want to give a shout out to Pastor George Sharps, the pastor at Jesus Lives Ministry in the men's group there, Elder Ray, Deacon Al, and Deacon Anthony. I praise God for those brothers, and they continue to press on and shape and mold and guide men in their spiritual growth. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to talk about spiritual maturity. Spiritual maturity. And when we talk about spiritual maturity, we talk about growing in Christ. Again, you know, when we talk about our spiritual growth, you know, there's a lot of things people, I think a lot of folk, we use a cop-out, but we're going to go with the Word of God and what the Word of God teaches, you know, things we should understand and know in our faith, from the foundation to the basic doctrines of the faith, of the Christian faith. This is who we are. This is who we, how we live. This is where we get our directions for life. This is where we take all our decisions and life choices. We look through it through the eyes of Scripture, through the guiding of the Holy Spirit, and what God has called us to be as men, again, as husbands and fathers. So we have to know the Word of God. We have to be spiritually mature because, again, we are called to do a lot of things. There's a purpose in every man's life. Every man is given a purpose. Every man is created for a purpose in God. But the only way we're going to reach and fulfill our purpose is that we are growing spiritually. We're growing in the knowledge and understanding of God. Amen? So spiritual infancy is a lack of growth after the new birth. Spiritual infant is concerned with self rather than service. Spiritual infancy is concerned with argument rather than action. Spiritual infancy looks to people rather than to the master. So in our growth, it's like babes. Babes, you know, a newborn babe, they're dependent on their parents. They depend on their mother, their father. They're dependent for everything, to be fed, to be cleaned, to be held, to be taken care of, to be nurtured, to grow. That's fine. Every man from your bishop, your pastor, to the elders, deacons, all the people that you know, from your grandmother, when you know your grandmother might be been in church her whole life, your parents, they all started somewhere in spiritual infancy, but that's fine. But again, we like to use the metaphor, if we have a newborn child and a pediatrician, there are milestones and growth milestones that we're looking for as a child grows and develops from out of the womb. It's the same thing spiritually. So, you know, in infancy, there's nothing wrong with being a spiritual infant. There's nothing, yes, we all started there, again, I say. But we are called to grow. We are called to mature in Christ. And then there's some things that we have to come to and have the understanding of. Now, who Christ is, we have to understand what it means. For the basic foundations, you know, for the brothers out there, for those who are listening, sometimes we have to look in the mirror and check ourselves and know what we believe and why we believe it. We must know some of the fundamentals. And some of those fundamentals are we must know and believe that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Sometimes we may take that for granted. We might forget. But that's something to base it. That's not what everybody in the world doesn't believe that. And you'd be surprised how many church folk doubt that Jesus is God in the flesh. That Jesus bore our sins in his body on the cross. That means he paid the price, the sin. He paid the price for the sins of all the world and for you and I individually. We believe that God died and was buried and rose from the dead. The Bible, this is what the Bible teaches. These are the basic foundational fundamental doctrines and principles of the Christian faith. And that we are justified by faith. We're not justified by works. We're justified by our faith in Jesus Christ, and that's what saves us. You know, it was an old evangelistic tract question. We used to ask, if you died today, why would God let you into heaven? Or would he let you in heaven? Or what must you do to get into heaven? And I just gave you the answer. We're justified by faith in God. Our faith in Jesus Christ, on who Jesus Christ was, that he was God in the flesh, that he bore the sins, our sins on his body on the cross. He died and was buried and rose from the dead. And then by faith, we're justified by our faith and belief in what the Word teaches there about that. Sometimes it's that simple. It's that elementary. Again, but this is the infant stage. This is the milk. This is the milk. This is like mother's milk. This is what we get all our nourishment off. This is what we live on. This is the foundation where we build the rest of our spiritual life on, these basic doctrines and understand. So that's why doctrine is really important, that we understand what the faith is and what it means to be a Christian. And are we a Christian? How are we living? Are we living our life like we believe it? What we know determines how we live. If we understand who Christ is and who he is as Lord, then we submit to him and we live every day of our life, try to be more like him and live a life that is pleasing to God and that glorifies him and advances his kingdom. You know, and then those who know me, you know, we talk about evangelism a lot, because even when we go out, even when we reach other folk, we tell people about our faith. There's some simple things that we have to be able to remember and doctrine and grow into the knowledge and understanding. Because we all didn't know it. No matter how you came to faith, if it was in your mother's bedroom or in your bedroom or somewhere in a car, at a church, at the altar, whatever. Wherever you know God touched you, wherever the Holy Spirit transformed you, and you came to believe, when the scales were dropped from your eyes and you understood who Jesus Christ was, knowing that you are a sinner and now you are saved by the grace of God because of what Christ did. So we have to understand what the Bible teaches, the essentials of the faith and the deity of Christ, and that his resurrection and the salvation is by grace alone. So if I ask you these questions, there's some questions that, again, I always like to give those questions out there for the brethren. These are the questions. Can you answer these questions for your family, for your wife, for your children? Some of the questions you can ask, what does it mean to repent? Sometimes we talk a language. Do we understand to our children? Does our wife, do our spouses, do we understand what it means to repent? What is baptism? Is it necessary for salvation? What is the Trinity? What are the two natures of Christ? What is the Bible about? These are just some of the things that we as men, as husbands, fathers, leaders in our homes, and leaders in the church, can we answer these questions? Are we spiritual mature enough to know the answers and how to share these answers and to be the men and be the leaders in the home and be the men that God has called us to be? Because when we talk about spiritual maturity, it's growing in the understanding of who Christ is and what it means to be a Christian. Sometimes we get delusion and we get bogged down in some of the traditions of men. Let me say it like that. But the Bible teaches, again, this is why here at Issues Christian Men's Soul, we always encourage brothers to read the Bible, pick up the Bible, study for yourself. I mean, you know, we talked about this a lot about, you know, on Sunday services, discernment. I understand everything goes on in a lot of services on Sunday. It's the praise, the worship. There's a lot of things going on, but discernment, it should be the meat and the focus of Sunday service. And then as husbands, do we talk about discernment with our wives during the week? Do we analyze? Do we meditate on it? Do we try and digest it and understand it? Because, again, we always say, you hear it one way, your wife will hear it another. And then your children, if your children here, do you discuss discernment with them for them to get understanding? You know, and again, because we, as husbands and as fathers, we have a responsibility in our homes for the spiritual maturity of ourselves and also of our families. So that's some of the things that we will be talking about today in our spiritual maturity. So some of the doctrines, because I think doctrines, knowing what we believe and why we believe it is very important. And this is what we have to do as men. We have to stretch ourselves. We have to get past it. And let me share this for those who are listening, for all those who have called in at 646-668-2636, or you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. We talk about spiritual maturity. We're not talking about titles, elder, pastor, whatever. We talk about our spiritual maturity, that we stand before God, and God is going to hold us accountable. Did we move from babes in Christ? Did we move and grow in Christ that God could use us? Because, again, God wants to use us. He wants to use every one of us. There's a purpose and a plan for our lives that God has put forth and designed us for. It's just not about us just getting saved and just sitting in a pew. We go to church every week for 2 hours. We may or may not go to Bible study. We never share our faith. We don't evangelize. We don't serve. There's a lot of things, if we look around the church, that the churches that men of God, well, and I say the church, and I mean us. I don't mean the building. I mean us as individuals, because the church is us. And what do we should be doing as believers? What has Christ called us to do? And this is where the Word of God comes in. I want to go to Philippians real quick, Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. But this is Paul, and all of us who know, from my brothers out there who know who Paul was, Paul, Jesus used him in a mighty way. After his conversion, again, he was a persecutor, a murderer. He tracked down Christians, but then when he met Christ, he used that same zeal to go after Christians, to disciple people. He planted churches. He discipled men and pastors. He wrote letters to encourage the church and help the church to grow. But in Philippians chapter 3, he talks about, at verse number 12, Philippians 3, verse 12, not that I have already obtained or am already made perfect, but I press on. If so, be that I may lay down, I may lay hold of that which also I was laid down by Jesus Christ. Brethren, I counted not myself yet to have laid hold, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and stretching forward to the things that are before me, I press on forward to the goal, unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what we are as men of God. There's a call in our lives. We have to understand that God, again, he saved us, he created us for a purpose and for a reason, for his glory. And once we give our life to Christ, are we growing? Every brother out there that's listening, you know, are you growing? Are you growing in your Christian faith from the day you were saved? I don't care if you've been saved 6 months, a week, 2 weeks. Are you submitting yourself unto the Word? Are you studying the Word? Are you seeking to be mature? And how do we do that? We do that by becoming more like Christ. Because after our salvation, as Christians, we begin the process of spiritual growth in that moment, in that time. Because, again, our salvation is a supernatural moment and a transformation of heart and thinking and mind. So once we've heard the gospel, we accept, understand the gospel, understand who Christ was and why we must come to faith with him, then the process begins of spiritual growth. The intent is to get mature, that you may be used. Now, Christian maturity, it requires a lot of things. You're going to have a new mind, a new heart. You're going to see the world different. You start to see people as God sees them. You start to see the world and circumstances as God sees it, because, again, it's a combination of the Holy Spirit within us. It's us reading the Word, understanding the Word. And there's some keys to our maturity. We start to become more consistent. We have to be able to persevere through some things as we grow to Christ. Because, again, it's about being Christ's likeness. Now, when we talk about maturity, there's some things that we have to do as men of God. There's some things we have requirements. Just like anything else, there's requirements. There's things that God requires of us. There's a knowledge that we have to go. We have to believe. Again, our faith is based on our belief and our hope and who Christ was, what the Word of God says about Jesus Christ, and what we believe the Word says, and then what Christ, again, requires of us. And that's the growth process, because, again, there's a plan and a purpose for every man's life. So the key to our maturity, again, is consistency, perseverance, and doing those things that will bring us closer to God. Now, in the practical realm, again, we're called to be disciples, just not converts. Just not converts. I mean, you really don't see converts in Scripture. You see making of disciples. So now we're submitting ourselves and our lives to the understanding and the teachings of God. Remember, Jesus Christ took 12 men, uneducated, ordinary men, and for 3 years he discipled them. So now, if we look at our lives, are we being discipled in the things of God? We have there's opportunities here. We in the 21st century now. Are we studying? Are we reading? In our churches, are we studying? Are we taking sermons as life lessons and teaching moments? Are we attending Bible study on a regular basis? I know that I say this, you know, everybody can't make Bible study, but are we out of 50? If you have a weekly Bible study at your local ministry, out of 52, how many are you attending? And are you studying? And do you have a devotional life? Do you have a prayer life? These are some of the disciplines you have to have. You have to have a personal and a corporate. Are we in fellowship with one another as men of God? Who's in your circle? Who are your friends? Do you have Christian friends who encourage you and help you to grow? I mean, there's a lot of things we do as men together, but is understanding and reading the Word and studying the Word together, one of them. Because we can go to a football game, a basketball game, a baseball game. We can go out and eat. We can do all those things. But in that same group, could we come together and pray? Do we come together and study the Word of God as men? This is why here at Issues Christian Men's Circle, we have a passion for men's ministry, because I personally say that the company of Bible-believing men can encourage us, strengthen us, and you'd be surprised. We have more things in common than we are different when it comes to dealing with life, dealing with the application of the Word, submitting to the Word, our marriages, our family life, our work life, the transformation of our hearts, how we deal with people, how we serve, okay, opportunities to serve. And then the most important enough is that as in the fellowship, are we encouraging one another? Who are you encouraging, and who's encouraging you in your spiritual growth and maturity? And that's what it's all, that's where it, the church is all about. And what kind of disciplines do we have in our lives? Are we reading, studying, praying, in fellowship? Are we serving? Are we learning to be good stewards of our time, of our talents, of our treasure? These are all biblical principles and doctrines that are taught. Because, again, we don't all get it right away. Every man, remember that. Every believer and every man was a new believer at some time. But are we growing in an understanding of our faith? The Bible speaks of being hearers of the word or being doers of the word. And that's where the growth comes in. So that's what you guys wanted to encourage today and talk about that. Again, for the brothers who called in, I see you there on this switchboard. You've got press 1 on your keypad. We can begin to have a conversation. You have a comment or questions as we continue to have the discussion. Because today we just want to encourage you, folks. I just want to encourage you a little bit this Thursday evening in our spiritual growth. Because sometimes I think we drift. We don't think it's important. And then, again, if there's any new converts that may around us, what are we doing to help them along the way? You know, what are we doing to reach out, to build friendships? One of the things that we always talk about here is Issue Christian Men's Talk. If a man comes to faith and was out in the world and he wants to change and convert his life, are we showing ourselves friendly to start to build relationships and encourage them along the way? What are we doing in our homes for our children? Or what are we going to leave as a legacy, as a biblical Christian legacy in our family and our bloodline? With our children, nieces, nephews, grandchildren, are we living a life that they see Christ in us? Again, because we have to remember, and we talk about it a lot in general, but we have to understand people need to see what it means to be a man of God and how we're living and how we carry it, and then our habits. Again, our Bible study, our prayer, our service, our stewardship. These are some of the spiritual disciplines that we have to start to incorporate into our life and then help incorporate into others' lives. Amen? Because it's important. It's something that God calls us to. Because, again, if we look out throughout Scripture, there's a growth, there's a process. There's a process of sanctification and growth. And we have to ask ourselves every day, have I grown in Christ today? What area was I tested in Christ today? Am I maturing in my understanding of the Word of God? Do I have a habit of prayer, a habit of Bible study? Am I excited to be in fellowship with the saints? Do I look forward to seeing the saints on the worship service on Sunday? Do I make time in my schedule for Bible study? Am I under? And let me back up, because I know that we always hear about folk who don't go to church. They don't have a problem with organized religion. They have a lot of things, but one of the things that part of spiritual maturity is not to be selfish and infantile in your thinking, because the Bible teaches nowhere in the Bible is anyone alone. There's always the church. Christ, I believe there's over 70 verses about the one another's, on how we treat each other as believers, how we look out for one another. And that when those one another's are, that's the church. That's the body of believers who come together to encourage and help grow. Again, if we look at the letters that Paul wrote, most of the letters he wrote to churches, to believers, and he corrected, encouraged, rebuked them to help them grow and mature. Says again, our final, remember, we're not judged by ourselves to one to another. You are not judged with how your pastor lives or how your brother lives or how your deacon lives. You're judged by the word of God, and you stand before Christ, and he's going to judge you. Did you live a life pleasing to him? Will he say to you, good, well done, my good and faithful servant, as a Christian man? So we have to, you individually, have to seek the word of God, seek the purpose for your life. You know, you have a lot of people talk about, how do I know the will of God for my life? You have the scriptures. You have the Bible. You have the Old Testament, the New Testament, to find out what it means to be a man of God, to be a Christian man, to be a man of maturity, to how to be a husband, a father, a son, a leader in your home, a leader in the community, how to serve in the church. And if God has granted for you to be a leader in the church, there's a direction for that. But if we don't know that, we fall into the trap. We fall into traditions of men. We can't discern, because that's also what the Word of God does. If we read and understand the Word, we can discern the things and not be caught up in a lot of traditions of men and false prophecies. False prophets. I say that because that was something recently I was in a Bible study where you talked about a lot. Amen. Let's go to, real quick, brothers, I'm going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1, because this is when we talk about growth. This is one of my favorite scriptures that I study on a lot, because, sometimes you have to understand that we are called to grow and do certain, and again, God, Jesus has great requirements for us. He has our best, and scripture guides and directs us. It's just a step-by-step process that we might be able to move and be more like him. Again, our goal is to be more Christ-like. You know, it's not to be like our pastor, like our bishop. It's for us to find where we fit in the body of Christ. Remember, many members but one body. And we all have a call in our life. And one of the things I always say to brothers, our faith and our spiritual growth is not necessarily for us. It's for someone else that only we will be able to reach and touch. And we have to remember that. We have to be in a place where God can use us to further his kingdom. And that's our greatest reward that we'll be rewarded for. What have we done to advance his kingdom and to glorify him in our lives? Let's go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to start at verse number 5 real quick. Amen. And yet, for this cause, add on your part all diligence in your faith, supply virtue, and to your virtue knowledge, and to your knowledge self-control, and to your self-control patience, and to your patience godliness, and to your godliness brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound, that make you to be not idle nor unfruitful, unto the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, for he hath lacked these things, is blind, seeing only that what is near, having forgot the cleansing of his old sins. Amen. We have to add to our faith. We have to grow in our faith. It says add to virtue, to add to knowledge, self-control, to self-control, patience. Patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. These to me were steps. These were things that we start to grow in more. We care about others. We're not as selfish as we used to be. We're not as self-concerned about us. Our pride starts to drop off, and we start to be more obedient to Christ, because it's about consistency in a walk and a living a life on purpose for God. And the only way we can do that, and one of the things we have to start to submit ourselves and be obedient to God. Are we obedient to Bible study? Are we obedient to prayer? Are we obedient to the fellowship? There's scriptures throughout the Bible that talk about the importance of the saints coming together, assembling ourselves together to encourage one another. You know, and let me say this, because this is we of men talking. We know, even when we was in the world, because, you know, everybody wasn't raised in the church, and everybody's grandmother wasn't a deaconess or evangelist or missionary. You know, some of us, our grandmothers were bootleggers, ran a lot of things, run numbers, played cards, did all kinds of things. Some of us, you know, we come into a church, we're looking that we can be used by God. and then we are converted, and then there's going to only be certain people that we'll be able to reach that only we can reach, that our pastor will not be able to, but God's going to use us. But the only way we can do that is if we start to submit and start to change our lifestyle to be more submitted unto the things of God. Again, that will help us grow and help us grow in the knowledge and understanding. That we'll be able to teach others, that we'll be able to disciple others, and we'll be able to reach others. So I just want to encourage you today to be as men of God, as when we become Christians, it's important to seek our spiritual maturity. Now, it's not like high school. It's not like college. It's still, you know, 4 years you get a degree, 4 years you get a diploma. You go to trade school, you do 18 weeks, you get a certificate. It's a lifelong process. Because Paul, can we talk, I read a scripture earlier about Paul in Philippians. He didn't adapt at all. And Paul was a mighty man of God. He planted churches. He converted. He was persecuted for the word of God. But even in us, it's a lifelong thing. You know, we have to understand it's a growth, and God's going to use us in seasons and different opportunities where we are, but we are called to mature. We should not be doing the same immature things we were doing when we were first saved, the longer we've been saved. And we have to start to mature. And the only way we do that is, again, through the application of the word. Not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word, applying and application. That's one of the things that we encourage, you know, here at Issues Christian Men's Talk, and also in our Man Up events, as we reach out, because we want brothers to start to take the word of God and not live a life of cliches and quoting scripture, but your life is a mess. I've been through that. I've seen that before, that there were men, brothers out here who could quote scripture left and right and memorize whole chapters, but their life was broke down, and I wouldn't even want their life. I couldn't see how they could throw so much scripture but couldn't apply so much scripture. Amen? Amen. You are listening to Issues Christian Men's Talk. I'm Deacon Thomas Farr. We're here every Monday night at 8 p.m. and every Thursday night at 8 p.m. and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can always call in at 646-668-2636, or you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Deacon Thomas Farr. You can listen to us live, or you can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and the archive of all our shows. I've been on over about 5 years now. We covered a lot of subjects and a lot of topics. You can always go there and get and listen to those archives. Amen. I got a brother here who has wanted to come on. Your last four numbers are 4945. Praise the Lord.
God bless everybody this evening. This is Brother Boone, Covenant Lifehouse Ministries. How are you, Deacon?
I'm wonderful. How are you, Brother Boone? Good to hear your voice.
Good to hear yours, too. I'm doing very well, just stepping out of choir practice and full of joy.
Amen. There you go. You can praise the Lord. What wisdom and knowledge have you been you wanted to share with us, brother?
Well, I love the topic that you're on. I just caught it. And, you know, when you're a man of God or woman of God, it shouldn't take you long to catch on to what spirituality of words are trying to be ingested so it can be quenched in the spirit. You speaking about how you can know the Bible inside and out, but your life could be a mess. And that is so true, for the fact that, you know, we're on this earth where there's trials and tribulations and temptations, and where the devil is just walking to and fro and seeing who he can devour. So that's why we always have to keep our armor and breastplate of God on us all the time. It's like a weapon, but we have it in our soul, and we have to just take those things that's coming towards us with words that may try to tempt us to get into subject matters that we should be able to say, I rebuke that in the name of Jesus. So it's a daily task. You know, a lot of us go to work. A lot of us go wherever we need to go. When we go out of our house, we only see, a lot of us only see church once a week, and you know, 6-7 days is a long time before you get in those pews and worshiping him. Think of all the times and minutes and hours that you have to take on, where you have to battle to keep your spirituality, your light letting it shine so it doesn't go dim. So So I just wanted to let you know, you definitely are so correct. I go through it every day. I always look forward for it to come to me every day, because I know we're in this world where there is temptations, where there is things that we have to fight spiritually. What do you think, brother?
Amen. So, you know, you're right. And that's what I'm talking about. We're talking about spiritual maturity. That's the other part of it, too. I was going to get to that, because we have to grow, because we don't – anyone who's told you that the Christian life is going to be easy, you're not going to be tempted, that things are just going to just – nobody's going to bother you, and stuff is going to change, and your life is going to be happy, rosy, and content, that's not true. Again, this is what Scripture teaches. Scripture teaches that we are enemies to the world. The world sees us as an enemy. The enemy, the devil, is trying to kill us and destroy us, because the devil, his whole future is already set up. He knows it. He just wants to drag us down with him. So that's why we have to grow spiritually and be mature in the faith, so that we can be able to stand and resist him. And like the brother was saying, you know, our armor, our spiritual armor, we need to put those things on, you know, and need to understand what they are. And that's where, again, this is where the study of the word, this is where prayer life is important. This is where the fellowship of the saint, because who are you praying for and who's praying for you? You know, it's a lot to it when we're talking about spiritual maturity. And again, I want to be clear when I say this. I'm not talking about you wanting to be a deacon, an elder, or a pastor and start your own church or whatever it is. It's about your spiritual maturity. Are you covering your wife, your spouse? Are you covering your children? Are you covering the brothers around you in the local body, in whatever congregation you're in that local body? Are you covering and caring and taking care of those and concerned about them? I won't say taking care. Are you spiritually concerned about your brother in the pew right next to you? Are you spiritually concerned in that brother that you are in fellowship with? Because, again, this is what the church is about, the people, not the buildings. It's about the people. And as we become more spiritually mature, we become less selfish. We become less spiritual infants. We're growing now. We start to take responsibilities. We're not a consumer, but we're producing. You know, we're co-laborers. We have to move and see it that way, as in the natural. Everybody goes. You start a new job. There's a difference between being on your job a year, 5 years, 10 years, 15 or 30 years. There's responsibility. The longer you're there, hopefully you mature, you're doing your job better. When we go to school, we go through. We're looking to matriculate and graduate and grow and get our degrees and our certificates. In the spiritual realm, it's the same thing. We sometimes, as Christians, we slip. We start to take things for granted. Oh, I know that scripture. I've heard that scripture. But if you find, let me say this, I'll say this, and I'm going to come back to you, bro. You're still there with me. You know, if you get into a sermon and the pastor, and he opens up with a verse of scripture or a passage that he's going to preach on for a given Sunday, and the first thing that rushes through your head is, oh, I read this before. That means you're telling me, you know, the word of God, you can read the same chapter every day for 7 days. And by the grace of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you get a new revelation and understanding on how to apply that thing to your life. You know, and that's what it is. We don't want to, you don't want to fall into spiritual rut and into spiritual, what's the word I'm looking for here? Complacency, where you think, oh, I heard this scripture before. Oh, I heard John 14. I heard somebody preach on Hebrews 1:6. And you know what I mean? The word of God that's going to grow us and use us, and we have different seasons of life. What do you say, sir, about just being open and wanting to grow and know more of God and have a passion and desire to be more like Christ? What are you saying, brother?
You're definitely hitting the nail on the head right there, because as you're saying, you know, you hear the word, you say you hear it over again. Oh, I know that one. Oh, yeah, and then as a pastor or a preacher or evangelist says anything, you're saying word verbatim. But what's supposed to happen is not that you mimic or recite and remember all these things. You're supposed to get more excited about that word, excited more and more, growing more and more. in the Word. You're not, like you stated, you're not supposed to be complacent and just have your pillow and your feet up and, oh, I'm where I'm at. Oh, no, you're not. Oh, no, you're not. We are not where we're at until we go to the kingdom, till we see his face. So and this is my word for me. I need to keep going on and growing and glowing at the same time to be able to be with all the things, knowing, educated about all the things of this earth, because every day is different. So I have to grow. I can't be complacent. I can't be relaxed. Every day is different. You run into somebody different every day. You run into a different spirit every day. You run into a demonic force every day. You have to, and you hear that word, and though you hear it 1,000 times, those 1,000 times you should feel more of an uplift. What do you think, my brother?
Amen. So I agree. You know, every day is a new opportunity. God can use you for something. And a word that you might have heard or you haven't heard in a while, there's a reason that you hear a word on Sunday and you think about this week, I'm going to use this word. I'm going to need this word. And that's what we have to start to think about. And then we think about Bible study, because my new thing for 2020 and the rest of this year, I got to start calling. I got to find out how come I got, and there are no men in Bible study. I got to find it out. Mm. I'm going to start doing interview surveys. Why you ain't coming to Bible study? Why? No, I'm sorry. Wait a minute. I'm doing it again. But I need to encourage the brothers out there. Anyone who's listening, look around you. I pray to brothers that are listening right now. I know you're faithful Bible study members. But now look around and wonder why the brothers ain't there. I understand folk different work makes different shifts. And I'm not going to say, because sometimes you have to press beyond your physical to get to a Bible study. I'm not going to take that for granted. I don't want to feel like I'm chastising anybody. However, we have to start to always spending time in the Word. And my thing with Bible study is, if the man of God standing before you, if you call him pastor and he's teaching a Bible study, you should be there to get that word to nourish you. Because, again, the word is being served to us, and we're being fed the word for a purpose and a reason. These things are not happenstance. It's just not another sermon, another Bible study. You know, I've been through Bible studies. I've read the book Survival for myself. I know a lot of brothers out there also who study on their own and still. But that does not substitute for being part of the body. And being in the house, being in the building, being at the gathering or the assembling of the saints. So we have to search ourselves. Why are the brothers to start to come to a Bible study and be in the part of the Bible study? And to be there, if not for no other reason, to encourage someone else along the way. Say you, okay, just imagine, you got it all, you know it all, fine. Now, make a disciple. Make a disciple. Are we discipling someone? Even if you studied, even if you studied and you got it and you know it, you can discern it. You took some Greek, you took some Hebrew, and you're dangerous on paper. But now you're discipling somebody. Are you ministering? Are you sharing the gospel? Are you evangelizing and sharing the gospel so someone can understand the goodness of the Lord and who Christ is and why he died and why they must be saved and what must they be saved? I early in the program, I asked a couple questions. Can you tell somebody what it means to repent? Can you tell somebody why do they have to be baptized? And do they have to be baptized to be saved? Can you explain to somebody the Trinity? Can you explain to somebody the two natures of Christ? Are we discipling even all that we're gaining and knowing? But now, okay, you got it. Now, what are you doing? What did Christ do? What did the disciples do? And what they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they had a passion. So where is our passion to reach the lost and to be able to minister and disciple and reach the others? Amen. I'm Deacon Thomas Fall. I'm going to talk about spiritual maturity today. I want to encourage the brothers out there. Again, don't count myself to have achieved it and been there. I just want to encourage the brothers, because I've known so many men who struggled, who are struggling, yeah, who sit in the pews every week, and they have stuff going on. And this is what I say about the importance of men's ministry and opportunity to talk about some of the issues that we're dealing with. And I think spiritual maturity is one of them. And we have to start to, as men, see that it's important and it needs to be a priority in our life to start to say, if we believe Christ, if we say we believe Christ, then are we submitting unto his lordship? Are we going to be, are we preparing ourselves to be used by him? And in the times of stress and the times of chaos in our life, who do we go to? Who do we seek wisdom from? Do we seek it from the world, or do we seek it from the word of God? Brother Boone, you want to share before we close out? What do you say?
Yes, yes, yes. We all are the same flesh and same blood and same people, no matter what our culture or our ethnicity is. We just have to know that once you're in Christ, you have to feel just excited about it. You can't feel weak about it. You have to feel strong about it. If you feel weak, and if you say you're weak, you're gonna feel weak. So we're convincing our own psyche that we're not this, we're not that, and we are someone. So we have to convince ourselves we are a child of God, and we can make it through this world. Let's say, brother.
Amen, amen, brother. Again, I appreciate you calling in and being part of the program tonight. Let me close in this. And we have to understand infancy and maturity. Infancy, being a babe. We're selfish, we quarrel, we argue, we bring division. We have unreconciled relationships, we're unforgiving. All these sins, the things that we carry with us is our immaturity. Remember, as babes in Christ, we act like babes in the natural. All we want is someone to feed us, to clean us, and meet our needs. That's fine. We all started there. But now, are we maturing to a level where we're starting to be part of the body of Christ? We're building up unity. We're reconciling our relationships, our marriages, our brother, sister, mother, father, whoever we got problems with. Are we as Christians reconciled as men? Are we seeking healing? You know, I was married 15 years before I got saved, and I've been married now 20 after that 15, and my marriage has been healed because of God. Not nothing I've done, but because of the Holy Spirit and God working on me and my wife. Our marriage is 20 years down the road, where almost 20-something years ago, we might have ended up in divorce. So are we healing? Are we manifesting the love of God around us, for those around us, for the stranger, for those in, let me back up. Are we manifesting the love of God for those in our local congregations? You look in the pews and behind you, to your left, to your right, and in front of you. Do you know that person? Have you prayed for that person? Who in there is praying for you? Are you showing yourself friendly? And are you in unity with the mission and vision of the local body? These are the things as men, if we as men take the lead in those areas, if we as men take the lead in the body of Christ, then the church can fulfill its purpose here on earth, because we're leading in the church, in the community, and in our homes. We're being the men that God created us to be. Our salvation is not about us. It's about us and our bloodline, generations to come, and the legacy. Remember, God used Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And them clowns, they had real issues. I don't know any brothers who are worse than them, but I know some brothers that are worser than them. But yet God transformed them and changed them. So brothers, again, I just want you to be able to look in the mirror, see who you are in Christ, and start to surrender to his word, start to mature from where you are today. I tell young people this, I also tell any of my brothers out there, wherever you are today in your faith, where will you be in 6 months, a year, in 2 years in your faith, in your fellowship, and maturing in the things of God, and living it out and applying it? Remember, being mature, spiritually mature, is not just being a hearer, but a doer of the word. Brother Boone, I thank you, brother, for calling in, being part of the program. All those who have called in at 646-668-2636. Again, we are here on Monday nights at 8 p.m., Thursday nights at 8 p.m., and on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. You can also go to www.blogtalkradio.com/DeaconThomasFarr. You can listen to the rebroadcast of this show and archive our past shows. We're on Facebook at Issues Christian Men's Talk. You can inbox me if you have any men's groups, men's Bible studies, men's fellowships coming up. Please send them to me. If you're just in the D.C., Baltimore area, we'd like to post them. You never know when a brother needs to be in the company of men and we just need somebody to hang out with and get around some godly brothers for a word of encouragement, a word of prayer, or just to build a friend. Because remember, sometimes some Christians out there, you'd be surprised, or some lonely brothers, because they live in a different life, they're making different life choices, and now they have no real companion. So as us as the church, we have to be, we have to be spiritually, have our eyes open and be discerning that we leave no man behind in this Christian walk. Amen? Amen. Father, we say thank you. We thank you for this evening. We thank you for those who called in and listened in. We thank you for every life that we touch. And God, today, if there's one man out there who does not know you for the forgiveness of sin, does not know you for the redemption of their soul, that the gospel is the good news that God became a man in Jesus Christ. He lived the life we should have lived and died the death we should have died in our place. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, proving that he is the Son of God and offering to give the salvation to all who repent and believe the gospel. That is the gospel. The life, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ has paid the price for your sins. All you must do is believe. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. And again, our next broadcast will be on Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Amen, amen, and amen.
One of the most difficult things to do is find yourself in a storm. And while in that storm, it seems like everyone who you thought you could count on has walked away. And sometimes it seems like even God himself has forgotten about you. But in spite of that, to still be able to lift your hands and say, Lord, I trust you.
I surrender to you.
Yeah.
So many painful thoughts, troubles.